you, Brother Jesse. I'm so glad for the old rugged cross. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 5. We'll be turning some scriptures today. That's not always my way, but today we'll be looking at several different places in the book. Today, our focus is on the search for forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that starts and ends with Jesus Christ. Sometimes we, as believers, we think about forgiveness, and each one of us have different things, but forgiveness of sins is one of the ones that oftentimes as Christians, as believers, we understand foundationally, but oftentimes as people who are in the world, unsaved, without Christ, we don't really understand what we're seeking for. We don't understand that forgiveness can only come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his shed blood would not have been enough if there had been no resurrection from the dead. We've come full circle through Palm Sunday and then Resurrection Sunday, and now here in the search for forgiveness, oftentimes in our life, each one of us have so many things that we need forgiven for. But ultimately, we look to the Lord because all our sins, whether I have a brother and a sister, and I'm not here to really confess my sins to you this morning, but I will say that I have a brother who is 10 years younger than me, and he was my little brother. And in my flesh, natural man, I abused him on a regular basis. I had my friends over, and he was about 5, and I was 15, and I had one of those, I don't know if you had one of those, like a down pillow. I'm talking about, one that it felt like a brick, it was nothing but feathers. It was like 20 pounds by itself. And I would call him, and he was a faithful little brother. He would run at my calling because he wanted to be with me. And I would have my friends in my room, and I would say, "Paul, come here." And he would come running up the stairs, and he would come around that door, and I would throw that pillow as hard as I could at his head. And it would hit his face, wrap around his head, and he would leave his feet and go backwards and hit the floor. As adults, I still haven't asked him for forgiveness for that yet. there are things that when we think about that, there's a lot of things between my brothers and sisters. I had the more folks in my family that were my cousins that were really close to me in age, and we did some crazy things with each other as kids. And we were always, if we were going to keep a right relationship, forgiveness had to be a part of our relationship. We had to realize that there was nobody perfect in that relationship, and so we had to receive forgiveness of each other. But true forgiveness only comes from one who can forgive. He can't be someone who owes someone else. He has to be someone who can pay everyone else's debts. And so we've come through Palm Sunday, and we've come through Resurrection Sunday, and we realize this morning that Jesus is the Christ. He is the prophesied Messiah who came to die on Calvary and pay for our sin debt and is risen again to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We understand that. And our scripture this morning begins in Acts chapter 5, where we're going to find that Peter and the apostles here are going to be drawn again before the chief priest and all the men there, and they're going to be called up before them. And again, they don't ask for forgiveness. They've been jailed for preaching in the name of Jesus. They go right back to preaching about Jesus. And now they're drawn in front of the magistrates, if you would, or the chief priests and the Sanhedrin, whatever you want to call it. They're drawn back in front of these men to answer for their testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to kind of an introduction and start here because I want you to understand that forgiveness is something that ultimately we need to ask of the Lord for our sins, for our transgressions of the law, for our sinning, again, even being born in sin, for our father Adam, and we could go through all those things. But desperately for us, there are some things in this life. When we went through COVID, and you may not like all this, but I'm just going to tell you, there are some things that I stand against in this world that I'm not going to ask forgiveness for. All right. I watch the television and they're trying to bombard me with this woke agenda. They're trying to bombard us as a church with sodomy. They're trying to bombard us with transgenderism. Listen, folks, I stand where the Bible stands, and I stand there I mean, without asking forgiveness, because the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about being nasty. I'm just saying when you speak the truth, it cuts folks that don't believe in it. When you preach the truth, it hurts people that don't like it. Folks, I'm just telling you, we as a nation have been brought under. People are motivated by fear right now. Fear of all kinds of things. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I'm thankful that this business that's going on in Florida, I'm thankful for our governor. You ought to write him a letter and say thank you for busting Disney right in their big mouth. Amen. Because no corporation has any right to stand up against its governor. Listen, and if they do, they need to pay for it. You say, well, I'm telling you, they got an agenda just like politicians. And you may not like it when I preach on politics, but politics are in our everyday life. And the Bible deals with politics. And so if you don't like somebody preaching against politics, you probably don't like the Bible. Because it deals with where you are. It deals with your sins. And when you deal with sin, all right, you're going to deal with politics because they're full of it. Amen and amen. That was just kind of introduction. I just thought I'd say a few things that, you know, that we're dealing with right now. And again, in the scripture, as we get to Acts chapter 5, realize these guys, this political whim, there are factions of politics. This is religion standing up against truth. This is a religion who had decided that Jesus was not the Messiah. They had every opportunity to come to the truth, but they didn't. And if you don't believe in our day, there are things and factions that call themselves Christians that actually stand up and go against the truth, then you got another thing coming. There are a lot of things out there today that call themselves Christian, and they're not Christian, and 1 ounce of Christianity in them. They're Christian in name alone. Folks, we've got to come to the balance of of what we believe, that this is truth. And when anything, no matter what they call themselves, leave truth, we have to separate from them. Amen and amen. And I'll just go another step further and tell some of you. You may not like this part either, but I'll just, you know, while I'm getting in trouble, I'll go on and go there too. You can't trust everything that calls itself Baptist today. You got to be careful. I'm telling you, there are a bunch of people that like to hang on to the name. There's a bunch of them that went on and took it off the sign because they knew they weren't Baptist anymore. But there's a bunch of people that are holding on and retaining the name, and they wouldn't know Baptist doctrine if it hit them in the face. Amen and amen. You say, preacher, you came back from that preacher's meeting all angry. No. I'm just telling you, there's some truth that we've got to hold on to. And even here in Acts chapter 5, we've got to realize that we are going to be drawn before leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, for our truth in the coming days. If Jesus doesn't return soon, we're going to be drawn to answer for our faith. We're going to be called on that because we are, again, they think we're the problem. Folks, every man that's ever stood for Jesus Christ has been looked at as the problem. You're the problem. You're the one withholding. That's right, because the Holy Spirit is directing me to withhold until one day, amen, the Holy Spirit and everyone that he indwells is going out of this place. We call it the rapture. We call it a catching away, but we're going out with him, and they're going to be left to their own demises, and it's going to be called a tribulation period. And then even farther, there's going to be a time of wrath that comes upon this earth. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be an awful time, and I'm so glad that because I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me because of what Jesus did on Calvary, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be taken out of this place. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be standing before him in his presence. Listen, you say, well, what is that place? That sounds like heaven to me, to be in face to face with Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 5, let's pray, and then we'll dive into the message, and I'll actually start preaching instead of giving an introduction. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for bringing us to Florida again in this place and standing in this pulpit, Lord, that you've anointed me for. Lord, I pray that you would give me unction to function. Lord, I pray that, God, that you would use me as your messenger boy to preach the Word of God to a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that today the Christian would be encouraged. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would convict those that do not know you as Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you draw them into yourself. Do the work that I can't do. Holy Spirit of God, you preach through me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 5, look at it with me if you would in verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now realize, Peter is preaching there to the Jews, and he's saying that listen, Jesus brought salvation to the entire world. He brought not only, if I could say this, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Oftentimes, repentance in our day has become a dirty word. It's come a place where people don't believe it. Repentance is simply a change of mind or a change of direction. That means I'm believing in something else to save me, but when I heard about Jesus dying upon the cross and paying for my sin debt, I turn from anything else I was believing in to Jesus Christ. That is repentance. Jesus Christ on Calvary gave us the ability to repent from our sins. That means we didn't have any other way to believe in. We turned from all other ways, but when the way came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid for our sin debt and rose again on the third day, now I've got a way of repentance to turn to. Before that, I didn't have one. I didn't have anything else I could repent in, but now I've got a Savior, a Prince, amen, the Bible says, to turn to. He's the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, forgiveness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, these men, they knew that. These guys said this, and I think, and I'm going to get ahead of myself today, but I just want you to see this. I thought this was powerful in the scripture. Do you realize that these men preached Jesus and that his blood could cover every sin? That he could pay the way, the sin debt. Look, and this is these men were so corrupted, and we live in this day. Instead of realizing these men preached the way of salvation and a way of repentance, they said this in verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you, you should not teach in this name? And behold, we have filled you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They preached like being covered with the blood of Jesus was some kind of bad thing. They said, you want to put it on our hands. You want to put his blood on our hands because of what we did. He said, no, what we want to do is put that blood on your heart. We want to cover you from head to toe. That's what Peter said. He said, wash not my feet. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part. He said, wash me from head to toe. Hey, folks, as a Christian, when I came to Jesus and I finally realized that it took a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to save me, I had grown up in church. I knew how to speak church, how to act church, how to walk church, but I didn't know the person of the church, the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior. And boy, I knew all about him in my head, but I had no personal relationship with him in my heart. And I remember that day that I could not, when I turned and I repented from all the action and all the walk and all the talk of Christian life, but didn't really have a personal walk. And I walked an old-fashioned aisle and came down and threw myself on the altar and humbled myself before God. And I said, I don't care who else knows about it. I don't care who thinks I'm an old, dirty sinner. I don't care who thinks anything about me. I don't care what they think. I don't care if they think I'm a hypocrite. I need Jesus more than anything else in my life. I need to be saved and know I'm on my way to heaven. Do you know not one person in the church said, oh, you stinking hypocrite, you've been here for 10 years and you never got saved. You know what they said? Thank God that you realized you needed Jesus and you got saved. You know what they said? Welcome into the fellowship. I had people, my youth leader goes, man, I've been praying for you. And I'm thinking, how in the world did you know I wasn't saved? I didn't tell you. Hey, folks, you know, people that have the Holy Spirit, it witnesses with other people's spirit. And when people don't have it inside of them, it don't witness with them. I was thankful that I had a youth pastor that didn't He didn't tell me I couldn't come no more because I wasn't saved. He prayed for me.
Amen.
He loved me enough to pray for me that I would come to repentance, that I would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
Well, this morning, before I get into my points, I want you to understand this, and I beg you to do this. If you're inside the building today, when it comes to forgiveness, I pray this morning that you'll obey God rather than men. Do you know, as men, we want to hold and we want to get revenge. As the natural man wants to hold things that people do against us and how all the world doesn't like us. We want to hold and harbor and we want to keep that and we don't want to forgive. But you know, the best way to have forgiveness is to forgive others. The best way to have the greatest walk in this life, I'm just telling you, for me and my brother Paul, I'm telling you, I started with that. You know, the best way is to just walk up and say, brother, I didn't treat you right when we were young. You know, some of you went to high school and you put people in lockers. Amen. My first year back, they stuck one of my boys in the trash can. Amen. You say, that happened at our Christian school? I would be surprised if it didn't.
Amen.
Folks, I'm here to tell you that when they go to the Christian school, it don't make them perfect. It just means they go to school.
Right.
And they learn about God from the teaching.
Right.
Hey, you say, well, did that ever happen to you? Yeah, I grew up in Christian school. They didn't put me in a trash can. They tried to stuff me in the toilet. At least they've advanced a little bit. They've grown a little bit since my day. Amen? You say, well, preacher, why is it that forgiveness, it seems like it's listen, I'm just going to tell you, I see here it says that then they brought them before the council. I want to say, number one this morning, that I want you to see what Jesus brought. Jesus brought in verse 31, when he died and rose again, he brought with him repentance and forgiveness of sins. It says in verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He's not just giving it to Israel, folks. He's giving it to all of us. He's given us repentance, a way of repentance. He's given us a way of salvation. He's given us forgiveness of sins. The search for forgiveness begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we begin that search, we got to realize Jesus brought those things because he bought those things. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, we don't hear preaching in our day as much about that. But you know, the Bible says, and that I don't know about you, but I mean, I get excited when I hear that I'm bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, amen. It says that I'm bought with a price, amen. And I ought to wake up to the fact that Jesus paid a great price for my soul. And it ought to change me. I ought to fall in love with my Savior, the Prince of my soul, amen. The one that died on Calvary and saved me through his own blood. That same person, there ought to be a love. There ought to be, I owe him inside of me. Too many times people thank you and they're gone out the door of the church, or thank you and you never see them when they get saved. Boy, there ought to be a change inside of us. There ought to be a natural change that I've been bought with a price. Jesus paid a great debt for me. Listen, I don't know about you, but just what he was saying, I wasn't worthy. I was not worthy to be bought that way. I was nothing but a sinner. And God saved me through his grace of his son dying on Calvary. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be a preacher. I don't deserve to have a good marriage. I don't deserve to have good kids. I don't deserve to be able to live in the greatest nation of the world and in the greatest state inside that nation. I don't deserve those things. But by the grace of Almighty God, he brought those things. He bought me with his own blood. And by following the way, the truth, and the life, I've come to a place where I can thank God for my marriage.
Amen.
Because I followed the way, I can thankful that I've been forgiven. I'm thankful for all that God has done in my daily walk with him. Staying connected through communication, reading his word and speaking to him in prayer. Boy, there's a difference in my life because before I knew about him, but now I know of him. He's in and through. He abides in me and I abide in him. I cannot help but speak of the one who lives inside of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. This group of men changed the world. 12 men dropped off one because he betrayed them. And then they picked up a new one and they went and turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. This church alone, if we decided to abide in Jesus Christ and to really get after lost souls, we would turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. We would definitely turn Haines City upside down. We'd definitely get after Kissimmee and Orlando and every outlying area. It would change the world in our area for sure if we just said, man, I'm bought with a price. I owe such a great debt. I've got to be a witness of who I am bought by. The Prince and Savior of my soul, Jesus Christ. Well, when we realize we're bought, you know, Jesus taught us some things. Turn to the book of Mark, if you would. Turn to the book of Mark real quick with me. I want you to see some things. I don't want to miss this. Mark chapter 11. Jesus taught us about forgiving. Do you know, as a Christian and we pray, do you know sometimes when we don't forgive, our prayers are not heard? Forgiveness, it was important at the beginning of my salvation, but it's continually. Do you know you can't come into a family? I told you about my experience with my brother. Do you know, I'm just going to tell you, I didn't tell on him. I told you my sin. Okay? There was a lot of times he wronged me. I'm going to tell one. All right? I just can't help it. I was a senior in high school. He was a little bit bigger. And I had a nice class ring my parents had bought me for that senior year. And it was big. I don't know if they're getting dainty ones now, but mine was just gigantic ring. And it had Wicomico High School on that thing, right? And my brother wanted to watch a certain show on television, and I was the man of the house at the hour. And I said, no, I'm watching what I want to watch. I was not gracious to him. So he decided, he saw mom coming up the back road there. And he had my hand, he took my hand and laid it just right on the edge of the couch. And he grabbed my hand and he started plunging his forehead into that ring until you could read Wicomico High School. And he ran to the back door and put on the best cry you'd ever heard of your life. Mom, Barry's hitting me. He's hurt me, look, you know. And next thing I know, my mom comes around the corner slapping me like crazy. I mean, just a letting me have it. Don't touch my baby like that. You've heard it, right? You know what I'm talking about. And then she took the controller from me and gave it to him. And she walked out of the room and he dried every one of them tears up and went, uh-huh. He never asked me for forgiveness either. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, but our relationships, they're important. Amen. That we come to a place where we forgive. You know, in a family, just like my family, my blood family, you know, we're born into the blood, this family of God. Amen. And when we come to church and we fellowship together and we're around each other all the time, our kids go to school together, when we all the time are around each other, it's going to take forgiveness for our relationships to stay right. Because we're just people. And we'll wrong somebody, and sometimes we don't even know we wronged them. Somebody backed up and cut you off in the parking lot, and they didn't even know they did that. But boy, I'm never going to forgive them. They backed their SUV out, right, and cut my smart car off right here in the parking lot. All the way to lunch. And then thanking the Lord, we're upset with somebody. And we could talk about the little things, but sometimes, you know, I've heard of believers, and you know, oh, that can't happen here, preacher. It happens. You start talking about somebody, and you don't mean no harm, but you're talking about something that's going on. It may be real, but they just come up behind you, and they're standing behind you, and you don't realize they're there. And you're telling somebody something, and probably didn't necessarily need to be told. And then they're mad with you. You say, how do you fix it? Beg them for forgiveness. Amen. Say, I shouldn't have been talking about that. You know, we're men. This tongue, the Bible has great things. It says it's like set on fire of hell, boy. This tongue is the hardest thing. You can bring everything else in this man under control. That tongue, boy, it'll get you every time. You know what'll destroy a church? It won't always be the hands that serve and the feet. A lot of times it's the tongue. It'll break the church from the inside out because somebody said something about so-and-so. And then they have a heart of unforgiveness. Look at the scripture with me. In verse 25, it says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you or forgive your trespasses. You know, this teaching, we could go through the context here. But today, just let me tell you, when I stand praying, I want to beg God for my family and get answers. I want to beg God for the missionaries of this church. I want to walk in close fellowship with the Lord where we can see God do great things. And oftentimes, we limit the unlimited God that we serve because we will not forgive or we won't ask forgiveness. We just want to go to the Lord in prayer and we want to harbor our hate, our anger, our hurt, whatever it is. And you know what? The best case scenario for every one of those things, just to forgive. Ask God to forgive. God, help me forgive. You know, sometimes even in our flesh, we're not capable. I mean, we're hurt so deep. Sometimes people cut us so deep. We are unable to forgive on our own. But you know, when you go God's will, God will help you in His will. And it is His will for you to forgive and forget and move on with your Christian life. And if you go to God and say, God, I don't even know. What a search for forgiveness to go to God and, God, I don't know how to forgive this person. Will you help me? God, well, will you reveal to me how to forgive this person? Boy, what a powerful testimony that would be, that God changed my life. He taught me. Listen, He not only brought me repentance, all right, and forgiveness of sin, but He taught me to forgive. Hey, in Luke chapter 23, did He not say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He not only taught it with His lips to His disciples, but He taught it through His life. At the most excruciating pain, after being whipped, beaten, crown of thorns beaten upon His head, and then laid, and as He's nailed to a cruel, rugged cross, about to, just give up the ghost for all of man's sins, He looks up to heaven. When it was hard for Him to breathe, when it was hard for Him to speak, and He asked God to forgive those that had nailed Him to that cruel, rugged tree. What an example of forgiveness we have. He taught me forgiveness. Folks, we don't have any business harboring hate. Nobody ever nailed you to a cross. Nobody ever beat a crown of thorns upon your head. Nobody whipped you the way they whipped Jesus Christ for no reason. Oftentimes, sometimes we got what we paid for. A lot of times when we got as good as we gave. But sometimes it is true. Folks wrong us, and we didn't do anything to receive it. But we have a wonderful example in the Lord Jesus Christ who forgave, and He never did anything to have that. He was paying my sin debt. He was paying your sin debt. He brought me those things. He taught me how to give those things, to give forgiveness to everybody around me. How about this? Listen to something that Jesus, I thought about this, and you may not like this, but I tell you, this is where God directed me. Turn with me to Colossians. I want you to see something that God has fought through the years. Do you know why the search for forgiveness is so hard? Because we always are fighting truth. We're fighting against God. This is something Jesus has fought since He was here on earth with His disciples and day to day with those that He is wanting to, if I could say it this way, He wants to give you the example or give you the power to forgive others. He's fought pride. You know why people won't get saved? Won't walk the aisle in church when they know they need it? Because pride. Do you know why people in the pew won't forgive the brother in the pew next to them? Pride. You know, the old-fashioned way when we give an altar call, we say, if you just humble yourself like a little child don't have trouble running the aisle, stepping out and walking. They're not worried about everybody else and what everybody's thinking. They're worried about what their need is of salvation. They're worried about how God dealt with them and is directing their heart and in their mind. Look at this scripture with me today. Verse 12 in chapter 3 of Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Look at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you know, I think in this life, the key to verse 13 is verse 12, humbleness of mind. Do you know the Bible tells us in so many places not to think of ourselves above what we ought to think of ourselves? The God, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And it's not because of what I've done, but because of the old rugged cross that was sung about just a few minutes ago. Do you know when we come to this place and say, I ain't never going to forgive nobody else. Do you know what they did to me? I will not forgive because of what they did to me. Sounds like pride to me. Sounds like the same sentence. I will be lifted up above the Most High. Sounds like the one that pride started with. Folks, I'm just telling you, we're in this place today. You know, we, a lot of times, we don't have any power of prayer, any power of our witness, because we are unwilling to humble ourselves and forgive our brother in Christ. We're unwilling to forgive and to give it to God. Do you know, some people sit in the pew and they're not able to be forgiven for their sins because of their pride. They're too prideful to come and receive what Jesus has for them. They're too prideful to let somebody else take the Bible. That's walk that road. Folks, I'm not, when I ask for you to come down the aisle and be saved and accept Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you to do anything I didn't do. I'm not asking you to do anything that other people all over this building have done. When they realize their need of Jesus Christ, they stepped out and they let someone else show them from the Bible how Jesus could save them if they just trusted Him. Listen, today, I mean, Jesus brought repentance and forgiveness of sins. He taught us how to forgive in His earthly ministry and life, not only in His life, but also in His death, when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But more than that, He fought. He has fought and fought and fought all these years against the pride of man. Realize this, every person, you know, the question here is not just forgiveness of sins, it's really heaven and hell. Forgiveness of sins, when we receive that from Jesus Christ, we pass from death, hell, into life, amen, eternal heaven. When we pass from death into life, we receive Jesus as our Savior, we get forgiveness of sins. But folks, I'm here to tell you, we need to do that, because otherwise, what happens to us? We're lost in our trespasses and sin. We are unforgiven. We're going to go to a place that God never created for man. He created it for the devil and his angels. God never wanted one soul to spend eternity in hell. But it's when they come in their own pride and make a choice not to receive Jesus Christ. Jesus will never send anybody to hell. They send themselves there by their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and their own pride. Folks, our world is full of people who have refused to humble themselves. I ask you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ, where are you at? Are you willing to humble yourself and receive Jesus as your Savior? Are you too filled with pride to step out and receive Jesus Christ, to humble yourself just a small bit, and walk down an aisle and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved? Let me talk to you, Christian. Maybe you've walked an aisle, but now you're too prideful to forgive your brother of how they trespassed against you. Yeah. Or maybe you're too prideful to go to your brother and say, forgive me. I didn't mean to wrong you in that way. Either way, this morning, the thing that stops us from either being saved or being right with God is pride. Forgiveness is available, and everybody in this room is able to forgive through the Lord Jesus Christ and be forgiven if we just humble ourselves and come to Christ and ask for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. If you came here seeking forgiveness, the great news is that Jesus is the Prince and Savior that can forgive sins. If you'd like to receive Him this morning, you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you'd like to receive Him as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, Preacher, I'd like to do that today. I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to accept Christ as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one like that in the building today? All right, I don't see any hands, but if I missed your hand, listen, this is an old-fashioned invitation for you. When we ask to stand and Brother Burt begins to sing, we invite you to step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle and just come and take my hand and let me know what you need to do today. If you need to accept Christ as your Savior, if you need to be saved, you need forgiveness of sins, maybe you're here and you need to join this church and you need to join it through baptism, or you need to move a letter. You've been going a long time, but you haven't really joined this fellowship. Why don't you join this morning? Why don't you do what God has asked you to do this morning? Why don't you humble yourself and do what God has asked you to do this morning? Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Burt begins to sing, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou
this morning. If God spoke to your heart while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need to receive Jesus Christ, I know that you're not sure what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. When you come down, we're going to take a Bible and show you what the Word of God says that you need to do to accept Christ's forgiveness of sins. If you'd step out and come and do that this morning, it would change your eternal destiny. It would take you away from a devil's hell and give you a home in heaven when you die. If you just step out and come, if you're here and you need to do something else, others have come. Maybe there's something between you and God and your relationship. Why don't you step out and do business? This altar is a place for you to be altered, for you to be changed, for you to leave burdens behind and to walk with God. Why don't you do those things this morning that God has pressed upon your heart, as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I call. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you for being with us today. And we're always sad when somebody doesn't come and get saved. But, you know, it doesn't always happen here in the auditorium. But somewhere on the property today, I'm sure someone's bowing their head and receiving Jesus Christ. Pray for our school this week. We have a facts competition, and it's going to be not just our kids, but we're going to have a ton of kids from all over Florida coming and competing for different things here in the building and having a chapel. Pray. You know, we've had several times on that Thursday chapel, we've had kids get saved in this chapel from all kinds of Christian schools. So pray for us this week that God will watch over and help us in that meeting and all the things. And then if you know, I'm going to step to the back as we get ready to pray. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you couldn't bring yourself to walk the aisle and receive Christ, I'd love to take the Bible at the back door and show you how you can be saved. Sometimes the hardest thing in our lives is to humble ourselves and walk forward. But listen, you can get saved in the front. You can get saved in the back. You can get saved anywhere that you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And so this morning I ask you, if you're like that and you need to be saved, meet me at the back. I'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Brother Perkins, close us in prayer if you would, my brother.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the word that we've just heard, Lord. And we thank you for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.